It's a really good demonstration. All right, so this morning we're going to read from Matthew 5, and we're going to read verses 1 through 12, also known as the Beatitudes. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, most holy, righteous, and wonderful God. Lord, we have heard and read your word this morning. The words of your Son, Jesus Christ. So Lord, we just ask that you bless these words to our hearts. Show us a little bit about who you are and who we are in relationship to you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you bless me as I present this message, and Lord, may you just speak through me. May these be your words, Lord. In thy name we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. So today, we're learning from what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. This is a very important and instruction-filled sermon that Jesus preached while he was walking on earth doing ministry. Today our main focus is going to be on verses 5 and 6. First, we're going to look at what it means to be meek and the promise that goes with that. And then we're going to look at what it means to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And just a little bit, we'll just talk a little bit about what that really means for us in our lives. I want to quickly point out here that the word blessed that we read over and over in the Beatitudes is really synonymous with the word happy. So instead of happy, we could say blessed, we could say happy are the poor in spirit. Happy are the meek. So please keep that in mind as we go through this passage this morning. So to begin, let's look at who Jesus is talking about when he speaks of the meek and what that means for us today. The word meek isn't one that we use much anymore, is it? But I think for the most of us, if we hear it or we use it ourselves, we almost instantly think of someone who is easily pushed around. Maybe someone who is shy and timid, or who doesn't seem to have an option. They're meek. Although most of us tend to think of meek in a negative way, I personally think we could use a little more meekness in the world today. Merriam-Webster's definition of the word meek is enduring injury with patience and without resentment. Now, this definition is a fairly good one. Imagine what the world would be like if more people were meek in this way. Anytime someone disagreed with someone else, maybe a political view, social issues, or anything really, there would be a lot less anger, more patience and understanding. The ability to endure harsh comments or maybe even harsh actions without getting upset is really a great quality to have. Jesus gives us an example of this in Matthew 5, verse 39. He says, "But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." God wants us to show that we trust him enough to know that he will avenge those who seek to harm his children. It's not always up to us to get angry and retaliate. If we look at the use of the word meek throughout Scripture, we can come to the conclusion that the meekness that Jesus is referring to here is being humble and gentle to others, and willingly being submissive and obedient to the Lord. As Michael Krauser puts it, it's having a quiet but confident trust in the Lord and being willing and able to do whatever it is he commands. After studying this past week, I came to the realization that it takes a huge amount of courage and faith to be meek in the way that Jesus is pointing to here. You see, in today's world, we're often taught or told to think of God as a friend. We're constantly trying to bring God down to our level, right? Maybe some of us even treat God as if he's some kind of a genie in a bottle who can help us get the things that we want in this life. Instead of praying humble prayers, sometimes we end up asking God to grant our wishes. Am I right? We can fall into that trap. Jesus constantly points out that what he wants is our heart. If we are true believers in Christ, we will love him more than anything else in the world. That is why he points out that those who are meek and are obedient to God and who treat others with respect will be greatly blessed by God. He says they will inherit the earth. Now, some of you might think, well, this world's kind of going crazy. I don't know if I want to inherit this. But I want to point out here that when Jesus says the meek will inherit the earth, the better term for earth is land. You see, in Jewish culture during Christ's time on earth, this was still very much focused on the Old Testament way of understanding God's blessings. It's important for us to understand that. If you know the story of the Israelites and how God led them to the promised land, which was the land of Canaan, you will understand the reference to the word earth or land. And what Christ is referring to here is the new promised land, the new heaven, the new earth. We'll inherit the new earth, where those who are true believers will live forever with God. Those who are meek and put their faith in God and willingly try to do his will in their lives, they will inherit the promised land. Just as Paul points out in Romans 8, verse 17, we will be co-heirs with Christ. It's a wonderful thought, isn't it? For those who are meek in life. Now let's look at what it means to hunger and thirst for righteousness. This seems like a pretty self-explanatory teaching that Jesus offers here. You may be thinking that This simply means that if someone wants righteousness, well, then they will receive it. They will get it. And basically, yeah, that's right. But I want us to think a little bit deeper about this morning. I'm sure that you have all had a time that you've been very hungry or very thirsty, right? I'm not talking about the times when you just go stare into the fridge because you're kind of want a snack, but you're really not that hungry. Might have more to do with boredom than anything else. No, I'm talking about the deep feeling of hunger. Your stomach is growling. You may even feel a little bit weak. That feeling of hunger or thirst isn't just a simple selfish desire that you have, is it? How many of you have seen that Snickers commercial? There's the Snickers commercial out there that says, "You're not yourself when you're hungry." And it's kind of a silly and extreme commercial. But the point is actually a good one. Because our whole attitude changes when we're very hungry. I'm sure some of you have heard of the term hangry, right? Kids get so hungry, they just get angry. And this is kind of that deep need that we have. The feeling of hunger or thirst is your body's way of telling you that you're lacking something that's essential for life. The feeling is deep within your stomach. You can't ignore it for too long. It affects your whole being. That is the kind of deep need and desire for righteousness that Jesus is speaking about here. It's that deep hunger. This is for those who simply cannot ignore the desire for righteousness. They urgently seek to glorify God with their words and their actions. It's not the selfish way that the Pharisees wanted everyone to know how righteous they were because they had followed all the laws and even ones that they had made up themselves, right? This is a different kind of desire for righteousness. These are those who know that they are imperfect humans, who have sinned and still do sin. And yet they have a deep desire to please God. They desperately want to be righteous in God's eyes. Jesus assures us that these people will be filled. They will find peace in knowing that Jesus has died and has washed them clean. Through Christ, we can be made perfectly righteous in the eyes of God. Jesus Christ is our intercessor. It's important for us to understand that. So I urge you to go today and know that if you are meek and submissive to God and His plans for you in your life, and if you are hungry and thirsty for righteousness and holiness, know that God will greatly bless you. And you will find true happiness, happiness that this world cannot offer. You will be filled, and you will find peace. This life will still have its difficulties, its rough patches. But you can rest in knowing that God is in control, and He will give you all that you need. And today, if you find yourself kind of in a place where you don't really feel like you're meek, you don't really have that hunger for righteousness, then I urge you to think about your life. Think about the things that matter to you. And then ask yourself those hard questions about whether those things that matter to you are more important than God. Because that's what it comes down to. If you find yourself too wrapped up in the things that this world has to offer, then I urge you to start slow. Try to make time to read the Bible every day, or at least a few times a week. Make sure to pray every day, several times a day, if possible. Because these things are important to help us remain meek and humble, to realize that we're servants of God, to study His Word and to pray to Him, to give Him praise, honor, and glory. Those are the first things we're called to do. And don't get wrapped up in it like the Pharisees. If you're involved in ministry of some kind, but find yourself in a place that you're falling into the trap of self-righteousness, instead of serving humbly and with meekness, then I urge you to take a step back and examine your heart, your motives. This is something that I have to personally do. Each of us should realize that we're in ministry positions, whether we like it or not. We are servants of God. Examine your motives. Pray for wisdom and renewal to once again serve God in a selfless way. That is what Jesus is pointing to here. He was speaking to His disciples and others when in the Beatitudes on that mountain. His disciples, He was teaching to be ministry leaders, which is what we're called to do as followers of Christ. We're ministry leaders of our own households, in our communities, our places of work, and of course within the church. So I urge you, be humble, be meek, serve others with love that comes from Christ. And He will make you righteous. Hunger and thirst for that righteousness. Get to know God on a personal level. Remember, He isn't a magic genie. And He isn't just our buddy. He is our Father, our Creator, and our King. He is our all in all. He governs every aspect of our lives. He should be first in every aspect of our lives. Whether it be our social views or political views, no matter who's in our government, God is our King. He is who we serve. Just remember that. He loves us deeply, and He deserves our utmost respect and praise. May his name be glorified forever. Amen. Let us pray.